Question that I have been throwing out. We're throwing out a few questions. And today I want to focus on one specific halachic discussion that's going to address some of the issues, maybe provoke some more issues, but we'll address the basic issues. We've seen this din, Po'el Yochalachzu B'chatzi Hayom, a Po'el is allowed to quit, and the Gemara connects it to this pasuk, Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim Lo Avadim Lo Avadim. And we threw out a couple of questions. That whatever this din is it a isser? Is it something that's addressed to the worker, telling him he's not allowed to be in a situation where he can't quit? Or is it a benefit that he has? The Torah is essentially categorizing this role as one that has an inherent advantage, an inherent benefit to it, and we're telling the boss that he has to provide this benefit. It's not anything addressed to the worker. The worker can make whatever deal he wants. But this is essentially telling the boss that this is basically the expectation. He gets that kind of benefit. That was a question we threw out there. And we also raised the question, does Po'el therefore have certain definitions to it? Or is it just an aggregation of agreements? And also, what is the Torah's interest? The Torah is specifically saying, don't be like an Eved. Whatever that means, being able to quit is one aspect of it. Or is the Torah specifically interested in this din in itself, that the Po'el has to be able to quit? So today, I'd like to first mention one point that we left off with last week, and then we'll look at a certain halachic discussion that's out there. So one of the basic questions that presents itself, and hopefully you've seen some makoros that discuss this, can a Po'el contract himself out of this agreement? Right? Can he decide to say, I'm willing to take upon myself a scenario where I can't quit? What kind of discussion do you have around that issue? Who talks about this? Well, what would we call this? We'd call it a kinyan. Right? Is there some type of kinyan that could be made? Is there some type of transaction that could take place that would override this, where you could make a deal? If you're not going to be very explicit about it, so then presumably it's always going to be the default. Presumably, if you wanted to override this arrangement, you would have to formalize it somehow. But is that even an option? Is that something you could do? Or would we call that masna mashakasav b'Torah? The Gemara has an expression that if somebody makes a condition against what the Torah says, it's not always a valid condition. Even though in general, when it comes to Mamanos, usually you have the latitude to make whatever tana you want, but there are exceptions, right? Even for vis-a-vis, let's say, the monetary obligations of a husband to his wife, and ksuba rights and things like that. That's where the Mishnah talks about it, that there are limitations to how many interpersonal conditions can be waived. Or we know that, for example, when it comes to ribbis, there's a prohibition to charge interest, even if the borrower is very happy to do it. And he's not even allowed to contract himself into it. Although we discussed, we talked about related sugyas in the past, that there is possibly an interesting split there. That it could be that it's prohibited to charge ribbis and it's prohibited to pay ribbis. But on the monetary track, the deal is recognized. You remember that discussion, that maybe it's actually a legitimate chov because it's contracted between two people. And therefore, if you pay ribbis to someone, he can take that ribbis and be mekadesh shemisha with it. It's his money. It's not stolen money. But at the same time, it's prohibited. Two separate tracks. So we discussed that possibility in a couple of contexts. So here, is it possible to contract out of the ability for the Po'el to be chozer? So if you saw, hopefully you saw, it comes up in a couple of places, but the Beis Yosef quotes it in Shin Lamed Gimel, from the Tshuvas HaRitva. That the Ritva says that yes, if you make a kinyan, you make a specific transaction, and we'll have to discuss this a little bit more, but it sounds like this is not the kinyan that we were talking about earlier in the parak. When we talked about the fact that the worker starting to work has maybe a status like a kinyan that creates certain obligations between them, we spent a day or two talking about that. So presumably that's not what we're talking about. If we that what we're talking about, then we'd cancel out the whole din of Po'el Yochalachzu B'chatzi Hayom. Presumably we mean separate from the normal kinyan, to whatever extent it's a kinyan, that the worker starts the work, but there's an additional transaction they may want to make to solidify with a kinyan, to say that I agree, I can't quit. Chatziyayom or whatever other term. So the Ritva in his Shuvah, the Beis Yosef quote, says, yeah, you could do such a thing. And who objects to this? The Shach. Right, if you saw the Shach is in Shin Lamed Gimel Yudalid. The Shach is probably what you would have guessed, right? Because why should that be possible? Isn't that essentially what the Gemara is telling us? Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim lo avadim la avadim. You don't have the right to do this. Which could mean two things. And by the way, the two possibilities exist within Ribbis also. So Ribbis is really an instructive model to compare this whole din to. There's a lot of parallels. You could say that why is it that the borrower is not allowed to pay Ribbis? Right? It doesn't seem to make sense. If the borrower, so to speak, is the victim, he's the one being charged, so why should he not have the right to say, I'm okay with it? Why can he not pay the Ribbis? So you could understand that as proof that it's not a straight monetary issue, it's about something else, which fits in well here. Here, that's very easy to believe. When it comes to Ribbis, we had to work a little bit harder to figure out why that should be true. But here, it's an easier sell, because the idea is that you have to preserve your ability to be an Eved for Hashem, so you don't have the right to sell yourself to somebody else. You could hear more easily why this might be an Isser on the person himself. Right? It makes a little more sense even than in Ribbis. So you could say that it's just addressed to him and he's not allowed to suspend it. Or you could say that really it's for his benefit. But the same way we find in America today, we have all kinds of labor laws. You know, so for example, you have a minimum wage law. Right? So minimum wage is presumably for the benefit of the workers. So why doesn't a worker say, listen, I appreciate that you made minimum wage law to benefit me, but I'm willing to take less. So what would happen if a boss would do that? He'd hire workers at lower the minimum wage because they all agreed. They all said it was okay. What would happen to that guy? The U.S. government would be okay with him?
No, right?
That's the sweatshop. Right? The presumption is that once you do that, so then you really kind of lose your free will. That people are going to feel, in order to compete in the job market, that they have to, against their will, give up this right. So we don't allow this to be something that you can be mochel on. That even though the minimum wage and all similar laws are very instructive, but even though it's for the benefit of the worker, if we're going to let workers be mochel on it, then all workers will have to be mochel to compete. The whole thing's not going to work. So you could also hear why that might be the case. Maybe this is a zchus for the worker, and still maybe we don't want to let the worker give it up. Maybe it's not his right. But then again, maybe it is. So it sounds like from the Ritva that it is his right, that this is the presumption. The default clause of a poel is that he's yochel achzer, and theoretically that's his right, but maybe we still don't say to other people who want to give up this right that they're messing up the market and we don't allow it. So that was the Ritva's position apparently, and the Shach says, what are you talking about? Keli b'nei Yisrael avadim, we shouldn't allow it. And again, shouldn't allow it for one of two reasons. So this was not that point specifically, but there is an interesting tshuva by our friend Nassim Gestetner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. You can look it up. It's all on HebrewBooks.org, all the volumes of his earlier tshuvas. So if you look up in the Lahorus Nassim, it's in Chelek Gimel and Simen Kuf Yud Ches. We definitely recommend you taking a look. So he asked this question. He has a short tshuva where he says, "Lamaisa, if somebody sells himself into Avdus, is he in violation of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avad? Is he doing something Asr if he sells himself into Avdus? Halacha L'maisa. Is that Naver? Now, this was another question that we kind of asked. We were talking about this last time and the time before, that whatever attitude we have of this as somewhat of an Avera, it's a little bit of an unusual kind of an Avera, because here a parallel to Ribbis or other Isurim breaks down, because it's an Avera that we kind of turn a blind eye to. That on the one hand, we say it's some kind of a violation of the Torah, but we acknowledge that it exists and we tolerate it, which is not the attitude that we'll find by other things. And we say, you can't pay Ribbis, we mean it, you can't pay Ribbis. But here it seems to be that we say, don't be Avadim, but L'maisa, people will be Avadim, and here's how they're treated. So how do you relate to that as an Isser? It's an unusual type of tolerance for an Isser that we don't normally find by other Yisurim. So practically speaking, asks Rav Nosson Gestetner, if somebody sells himself into Avdus, is he violating an Isser? So is he violating this this or is he violating something else? So he notes, first of all, the Rambam, if you had a chance to see it, the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Avadim, he says that somebody who sells himself into Avdus should only do it under one condition. What's the condition? Basically, or he has nothing else. He's completely bereft of anything. And that's based on a language which we're going to read soon, and it's coming up in the Parsha. So it's actually interesting. This phrase appears a couple times in the Parsha, and it's relevant. So Parshas Bahar, in general, very important for us, the sugyas that we're learning now. So what's the pasuk say? And Bahar and Bechukos say? So the language that you find is V'chi Amuch. That, let's say, a person is basically broke. A person has nothing left. So the Torah says that when somebody is in such a condition and he has sold himself into slavery, so we're not allowed to treat him bavodas parech. We can't treat him with too much intensity. Can't give him crazy amounts of work to do. So the context seems to say that it's theoretically possible that somebody will sell himself into slavery, and then there are rules that govern that. So what circumstances, under what circumstances could it happen? V'chi amuch, right? Here it is, the pasuk, if you want to look it up, it's Per Chav Hei, it's in Parshas Bahar, Chav Hei Lamites. Says the pasuk v'yichi amuch achicha imach v'nimkar lach lo savor bo avodas aved. And the person has faltered, he has become bankrupt, basically. The English translates it as, your brother becomes impoverished with you. He doesn't have anything. And he is sold to you, so you shall not work him with slave labor. That's what the English says. So the Rambam paskins that did in the beginning of Hilchos Avadim, that somebody who has nothing, he says, doesn't have clothes, doesn't have a house, doesn't have anything, has absolutely nothing left, and he honestly has nothing. The Rambam says if you're hiding something, then you can't do this. You have really nothing. So then you can sell yourself. So it sounds a little bit like when he says he can't, if you have anything more than nothing, that maybe, I don't know, maybe you'd say that's kind of like an Isser Aseh, that the Torah only allows it in this context, a Ki Amuch. You can only eat an animal that shechted. You can only do it in this context, so you can infer that if it's anything less than absolute impoverishment, then you can't. But if you don't have anything, so then you can. So the Rambam does, on the one hand, acknowledge the possibility of selling oneself into Avdus, and at the same time implies that it's wrong to do this if you have anything more than nothing. But that Isser, as Rav Gestetner points out in his tshuva, what's the Isser? Is that the Isser of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim? No. How do you know it's not? Well, first of all, because he doesn't reference it there. But also because there's another Isser, it also maybe comes from here, that the Sefra talks about, that for someone to sell his Te'achuzo, if he has his ancestral property, to sell that, you're also only supposed to do if you are completely without other options. You're completely impoverished. So that's not about Avdus, per se. Seems like it's the same Isser. So it sounds like from the Rambam that the only Isser that you have is this issue of the implication of Ki Amuch, anything more than Ki Amuch not, but that it's not about Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim. What is the din of Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim? So that the Rambam brings in Hilchos Chiras. That's the din of Pol Yachal Achzav Chatzi Ayo. So apparently, he has two separate concepts. There is an idea of Pol Yachal Achzor. That's its own din. That does not mean that you can't sell yourself into Avdus. That Pol Yachal Achzor is Ki Libanei Yisrael Avadim. And selling yourself into Avdus is a different issue, but it's permitted under certain circumstances. It's permitted if you have nothing else. So if that's the Rambam's view, it addresses some of the issues that we've seen so far, because how could it be this kind of quasi-isser that we tolerate, we say is wrong? So the answer is, maybe it's not wrong. It's only wrong under certain circumstances. But if a person doesn't have anything else, so then that's the circumstance the Torah allows it. So it's not like other things, the ribbis or whatever, where it's a flat-out prohibition. It is permitted under certain circumstances. And the idea of Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim, that's something else. Now, that could be the Rambam's view. And then in that case, basically, what does the Rambam see here? That how does the Rambam fit into our question of what the whole din of Pol Yochel Achzer is? If he doesn't quote an Isser of selling yourself into Avdus, it sounds like it's just a benefit for the worker. The worker has this right to be treated as certain benefits, that he has the zchus to be chozer. But it's not that he's not allowed to make himself into an eved. This has to do with categorizing what the iser, what the nature of a poel is. That seems to be how the Rambam understands it. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, but we saw Makoros that said differently. Right? We saw Makoros that did prohibit a person committing himself, even just to commit yourself for more than a three-year period, right? We saw who talked about that. The Ramah talks about that, quoting from the Mordechai. We saw a few other sources like that, that there is such an issue. So the truth is, it could be this is machlokas. It could be that we have emerging here two different perspectives on what is the concept here. That the Rambam sees Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim as a schus for the worker, one of the possibilities we mentioned at the outset. And those who are machmir, not to let you sell yourself for 3 years or more, see this as an isser, that there is some type of a prohibition addressed to the worker about what type of commitments he's allowed to take on. Now, what's the mucker for this concept that there is such an isser? Right, our Gemara doesn't say it explicitly. Now, you could say that our Gemara could still be the mucker. Well, our Gemara will talk about the Gemara on Ayin Zayin. In Bav Metzia, the concept appears at least twice, Ayin Zayin and Daf Yud. Let's call our Gemara Ayin Zayin. In our Gemara, is that, can you read in from our Gemara that there's an isser to sell yourself for more than 3 years or anything like that? Yes and no. I think it's not explicit that there's a problem, but it's not excluded. If we say Pol Yochel Achzer B'Chatzi Hayom is representative of a whole concept, so we don't know that it doesn't mean that there's limitations on the worker. Maybe it does mean that. We don't know how far it goes. It could be you could build on that whatever kind of limitations make sense. But it's not an explicit source. Is there a better source than Shas that really sounds like it's Usser? Is there a Gemara that really sounds like there's something wrong on the part of the Eved if he does this? So it could be, is the Gemara in Kiddushin. Right? What does the Gemara in Kiddushin say? And Chav Beis?
It's Usser to go past 6 years of the Yovel and you're being punished because of the Pasuk.
Right. Well, so what the Gemara, what the Torah says, if you go past 6 years, you get bored, if that's the word, you get nailed, you get zapped, you get pierced in the ear. So what the Gemara fills in over there is what's the symbolism of getting that ear piercing?
That you're
violated the din of, what's the Gemara quote there? Kili B'nai Yisrael Avadim. So that Gemara, more than the Gemara's in Bav Metzia, is maybe a raya from Shas itself, that there's something wrong on the Eved's part, on the worker's part, for a worker to put himself in such a situation that is him doing something wrong, not just an isser on his employer in terms of what work conditions he has. Hi.
Even though the Gemara sort of admits that it's just what you do, it's like, okay, you're going to get punished, but we still have such a concept that you can go past the 6 years.
Oh, so that's itself a question. I mean, maybe you're right, but it prompts itself a question, which I want to come back to in a second. How much can you get from that Gemara? Mm-hmm. But in any event, that Gemara sounds like it's some kind of an indication that the worker is doing something wrong, which sounds like it's against the Rambam. So why does the Rambam not acknowledge that? So, okay, one could argue, this is what the Laharis Nassim writes, that one could argue that the Rambam sees that as an agadic Gemara. It's not really telling you a din, it's just explaining a din in the Torah. So maybe that's a musr, it's an agada gemara, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the pasuk creates an iser that tells you any specific rule that's not spelled out in the chumash, or spelled out at least in the gemara. So that could be the Rambam's view, so maybe the Mordechai and others disagree. Although it's also noteworthy that the Ketzos points out that Mordechai and others, you saw the Ketzos also in Marmar Komos and Zion, Shemam and Gimel Zion. So the Ketzos says that this Isser is really an Isser de Rabbanim. So even those who are machmer on this, so they could feel that really, first of all, the din really is actual avdus, so it doesn't necessarily address the poel. But also, even to the extent that it addresses the poel, it's probably a din de Rabbanim. So that's part of what we discussed. You know, to what extent does this play a role in determining the pasuk? We mentioned the other day, is this a davar, a masr, a kasuv, a chachamim kind of thing? That the Torah has a din and a chazal, or it's up to them to define it. Didn't sound like it was a din d'oraisa, so that whole not committing yourself for more than 3 years thing, and we saw differences. If you have your own house, if you sleep there, if you have a break, these don't sound like din d'oraisa, so there are those who say the whole din, that idea is a din d'rabbanan. But it seems like that the Ritva is basically like the Rambam in this, right? That the Ritva and the Rambam both hold that there is no Isser on the worker. Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim does not tell you that a worker cannot make any such commitments. It just tells us the din of Paul yachal achse b'chatzei yom, but he has certain benefits. And we don't know from there that there's an Isser to sell yourself into avdus. And to whatever extent there is such an Isser, that is from what can be inferred from the Chiyamuch. And if it is a situation of Chiyamuch, if a guy really is impoverished, then that's what the pasuk is telling you, that it's not awesome. So this seems to be then a machlokas. So perhaps the Rambam and the Ritva will hold that this is really a benefit for the worker, one of the issues that we mentioned at the outset. And those who are more machmir, maybe like the Mordechai and others, if we assume they're talking about more than Issa Drabbanan, or the Shach, who says you shouldn't be able to make such a deal, you shouldn't be able to make such a kenyan, they are seeing this essentially as an Isser on the worker. So far, so good? That makes sense? So he goes on to note, that he thinks that even if you want to say that Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim is an actual Isser on the worker, it's not just addressing the employer, but it is an Isser on the worker, and selling yourself into avdus would be a violation of Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim. So he assumes that it actually would be parallel to Kiyamuch, that they'd have the same rules, that it would only apply if you have other options. But anybody who has other options would not have the Isser. He says he thinks you could bring a raya. He says you could bring a couple rayas. But he says one raya you could bring is from that same Gemara about the ear piercing, or about the boring, I don't know what the best English word is, about the drilling, or the hole making. So that is a little bit of a raya. Why is that a raya? What kasha could you ask on the Torah based on that Gemara's interpretation? Aaron?
For every variation of transgressions, you get a...
Okay, that's a fair question itself. That is a good question. But even if we just wanted to limit it to this area, so what other question could you ask? Something that's missing here. If you're going to say that selling yourself into avdus is a violation, and that's why he gets his ear pierced.
Why 6 years and not three?
Why any year? Why not the first day?
Right.
But why don't we say that as soon as he shows up to work and says, I'm selling myself into avdus, let's do it then. Right? That's a powerful question. If the Torah says he should get pierced because he's violating this din of Kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, so let's do it right away. So what's the answer to that? You probably get where this is going. What's the answer? Why should that not be the case?
Because it's advantageous for him for that certain time period afterwards.
Right. That basically, when he sold himself initially, maybe he did it beheter. Maybe when a person is in that circumstance that he doesn't have any money and he has these debts and he can't support himself, so in such a scenario, what's mutter? That's not a violation of Kili b'nei Yisrael avad. But later on, If he still wants to say, Ahavti es Adoni, es Ishti, es Banai, what all the things the Psukim say, he says, not that I'm poor and I can't have anything else. The Psukim give a whole context there. He says, Bidavka, I want to stay with my boss. Right? That's what the Psukim in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim say. So then, he says, that's maybe what the Gemara is telling us, that if he comes in the first place, he doesn't have a choice, Nebuch has no Isser. But if he chooses to stay later, so then you could say that's when the Isser is. Hi.
Well, isn't the din, I might be wrong here, isn't the din of paying an Evan, he doesn't really have a salary, you just sort of take care of his needs.
Right.
So how could you expect his financial situation to improve if he has debts to him?
That's a fair question, but also he could be sold into you initially when he buys in the first place. When he buys the other in the first place, he could pay off his debts that way.
Oh, to the person that you owe it to, not just the other.
Right, so that's itself a source of income. But so he says this point that he's medayik in the Gemara, that the Yisr is only later. He points out that he later on found Rishonim that seemed to say like that, that the Rif in his commentary to the Ein Yaakov seems to say like that. And also Zarashi, I think I put it on the list this morning, Zarashi in Kedushim Tef Tesvav, which says there's an Yisr to sell yourself as an Eved Chinam, meaning what? That if you don't have to, you don't have a need to. If you're not stuck and you anyway say, well, hey, why not? I'll just give up my desire to have a free life and to be an Eved Hashem. Instead, I'll just have all my needs taken care of by working for you. That's an Isser. But a guy doesn't have a choice. He's stuck. So then that's going to be that's when you have, you don't have an Isser specifically. So that's what he wants to assert, that first of all, it's a machlokus Rishonim whether or not Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim puts any Isser on the worker, or any Isser to sell yourself into slavery or anything else along the way. But even if there is an Isser, whether it's from here or from Kiyamuch or both, they probably have the same parameter, that it's only if you have any other option. If you're completely impoverished, so then you don't have an Isser. So let me ask you two more questions, and then maybe we'll daven mincha. We'll continue fish up the sugya tomorrow. Mm-hmm. One question is: if you say it's just a schus for the worker, so it is a little bit interesting, because it's really just becomes a very minor din, because it's basically a default, but it's a default with an easy workaround. And as we saw before, that if you have a workaround, then the default gets messed up in terms of the market. So it's interesting that we're saying that clearly. Any two people can make any deal they want then, if this is not prohibited. And all the Torah is saying is that if you didn't make any other deal, and you just used the Lashon Bnei Adam kind of arrangement of what a poel is, so then the Torah has a concept of what a theoretical poel is. But anybody who has any interest in overriding it could do so relatively easily. But that the Torah has a construct, a concept that a poel, theoretically, by default, is defined through the prism of our history of avdus and our destiny of service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in practice, that just represents a benefit that's there theoretically for the worker, but it could be overridden if they so choose, which is a very weak din. But maybe in a chanami, maybe that's what it is. But the weakness is a little bit hard to understand. Why would the Torah have a din that's so easily overridden? And especially because the implications are that will pressure everyone to override it if that's the case. Unless you want to say that it's not so easily overridden, because this is not the kind of thing people think about so much to begin to negotiate. If you talk about minimum wage, okay, so wage is the first thing anyone talks about, is what are you working for? So that, if you let people work for less than minimum wage, everyone's going to right away have to do that in order to compete. But here, this is a prat that's not so important, and it's not necessarily the kind of thing that shifts the whole market. And therefore, the default is yochel achzor, but you could contract out of it. Maybe. But another question he raised, if you say that there is an isser, so, okay, so he said the Eved, when he first sold himself, he was not over the isser, because he had to. But it's only after 6 years, then he's going to violate an isser if he stays further. So what would you say, as a suffix, what would you say if it happens to be sometime in the middle of the term, he happens to acquire some money, the situation changes. So does he have an obligation to redeem himself right away? Or can he serve out his term and it's just after the 6 years, then he's not allowed to sign up again? So So he sees two possibilities there, that you could make a case that it's only the actual hishtabdus, the kinyan that you make, that if you don't have justification to make it, that's what bothers us. So you have until the 6 years before that issue comes up again. You're going to re-up, that's when we have an issue. But if you serve out your term, even though you're rich now, that's not per se a problem. But he inclines, the Laharus Nasani inclines to say differently, and he inclines to say that presumably Keli B'nai Yisrael Avadim, if you hold it's a din against the Rambam and the Ritva, you hold it's a din on the worker, it means that it's really not right for you to be in a state of avdus to somebody else if you don't have to be. So even if it's just a question of remaining status quo, but you have the ability to redeem yourself, it would be indicated that the Torah is conveying its ratzon that you should get out of it right away. So these are this is some interesting sfeikas. So this tshuva, it's a halacha l'maaseh tshuva, happens to tie in very much to the conceptual questions that we've been alluding to throughout. So there are some more halacha l'maaseh points. I hope that tomorrow, in the relatively short slot that we have, we can finish up this topic and say some of the practical issues. There are, again, some really practical nuts and bolts cases that come up that draw on this issue. So hopefully tomorrow we'll be able to get them all done. So just to quickly review what we spoke about today. So we raised, in addition to going over some of the questions of the past, so we talked about the question of can you contract out? It's a machlokas rishonim, machlokas aposkim, that the Ritva, quoted by the Beis Yosef, says yes, you can make a kenyan, presumably a additional kenyan, in order to contract out that you're not going to be chozer. And the Shach says, what are you talking about? Keli B'nai Yisrael Avadim, sounds like it's an issa. And then we talked about this tshuva, the question of, is there really an issa for a person to sell himself into avdus? The Rambam sounds like there is something wrong if you have any other option. You could do it if you have no other option. But the issue seems to be the inference of the pasuk of ki amuch, only then, but not because of Keli B'nai Yisrael Avadim, because the same issa seems to apply to other things, such as selling stei achuzaso, and other things. So what about the idea of not going more than 3 years, selling yourself more than 3 years contract? So that some Rishonim did have such an issue, even those who mentioned it might be a Drabanan, or it might be something else, but those Rishonim do seem to think there's an issue on the worker, so it sounds like it's a machlokas. Those Rishonim have a mucker, which could be Bav Metzia is telling you that also, but they have a more explicit marker from Kiddushin and Beis, where it says that Dinan Parshat Mishpatim, that the Eved gets pierced, is because he didn't listen to Keli B'nai Yisrael Avadim. And it seems to be an indication that there is such an Isser. And the Rambam maybe doesn't paskin like that, because the Rambam holds that it's a Divrei Agadita. Should also point out, as he also discusses there, that the Rambam is maybe L'shitaso, because it's a Machlokas HaTanoim. The Gemara quotes Machlokas HaTanoim, about whether this whole din in Parshat Mishpatim of the Eved Nirtza as a possibility, is that something that applies to any Eved, or maybe only an Eved that bez themselves? And maybe if somebody sells himself into Avdus, there is no such concept. So the Rambam happens to hold that way. There is no idea of Nirtza by someone who sells himself. So then it kind of works why he wouldn't quote that Gemara as relevant to somebody who's selling himself, doesn't have that whole. So in any event, the Rambam doesn't think the Paskin like this Gemara, and what emerges essentially is a Machlokas Rishonim, Machlokas Aposkim, is Ki Li B'nai Yisrael Avadim just about Pol Yoch L'Achsu B'Chatzi Yom, and therefore it is essentially a S'chus for the worker, but he can contract out of it. It's a Ben Adam L'Chavero. Or is it an Isser on the worker too, and the implications therein? And then he discussed this point, that even if there is such an Isser from this Pasuk, so he assumes, the Laharus Nasan, that the Isser would not apply if the person is mamish impoverished, and that's what's indicated by the Gemara, that why do we only give him this piercing at the end? Why don't we give him the beginning when he violates the Isser? The Teretz being, which the Rif seems to say also, and other Rishonim as well. Sounds a little bit like this from a Diak and Rashi in Kedushin, that when he did it initially, he had no choice, that was not an Isser. But to stay in that circumstance, when he has the opportunity to leave, that's when you have an Isser. And then he had this interesting suffix, that what if a person becomes rich in the middle of the term, so do we say it's only wrong for him to re-up? Or that even just to stay the way things are, to finish out his term, that's also a problem. And he thought that it's mustaber, that if Keli B'nai Yisrael Avadim really is such a din, so then, and that would be a nafkamina, I guess, to what the mucker is, if there really is such a din, so then it would be wrong, even passively, to remain in a condition of avdus to somebody else if you have an alternative. If there's something you can do to get out of it, it would be wrong to stay in those circumstances. All right, so we'll add a few more ideas tomorrow. We'll dive in. Sorry? It's a Kuf Yud Chaf. It's easily available on HebrewBooks.org.